Let's turn together to the Word of God in Exodus chapter 12. We're going to begin reading at verse 21. Exodus 12, verse 21. This is called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel, in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and to all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and raiment, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Then they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. The sermon text for this evening is verses 35 and 36 of this chapter. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. This is the third time in the book of Exodus that that spoiling of the Egyptians is mentioned. God spoke of it first to Moses when Moses met with God at the burning bush. God sent Moses to Egypt to be the deliverer of God's people. And as part of his word to Moses, he said this, Exodus 3, verses 21 and 22. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, that ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And if that were not enough, God mentioned it again just before he brought the tenth and last plague on the land of Egypt. Exodus 11, verse 2. God says again to Moses, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the fact that that spoiling of the Egyptians is mentioned three times in the book of Exodus, and then again, by the way, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 105, verse 37, makes us wonder why that spoiling of the Egyptians was so important. If it had been mentioned just once, perhaps in Exodus 12, we might be inclined to think that it was just an incident, an unimportant part of the history of Israel's deliverance. But the fact that God himself spoke of it twice to Moses and then brought it to pass, as we have here in Exodus 12, emphasizes the fact that this was something that was an important part of Israel's deliverance. And that's what I want to look at with you this evening. I want to try and answer the question why that spoiling of the Egyptians is such an important part of Israel's deliverance as to be mentioned three times in the book of Exodus, and then again in the book of Psalms. So the subject tonight is the spoiling of Egypt. We're going to look at the event itself, but I want to emphasize in that connection that will help us see the importance of this, that this spoiling of Egypt did not end with Israel's departure from Egypt. There's a fulfillment of this in the New Testament and will be a fulfillment of this in the new heavens and the new earth. So first of all, the event, but then also the reason for it. The reason why God commanded it, and the reason then, too, why it actually happened as part of Israel's deliverance. And finally, the purpose of God in giving to his people as they left the land of Egypt the wealth of that nation. So those three things. This happened, as we saw here in Exodus 12, on the night of the last plague and the first Passover. It was after the angel of judgment went through the land of Egypt, destroying the firstborn, that Pharaoh, having summoned Moses and Aaron, sent the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. He would change his mind about that. No sooner were they gone than he pursued them to the shores of the Red Sea, where he and his armies were destroyed in the Red Sea. But he sent them out, and as they went out, the Israelites did as God commanded and visited their Egyptian neighbors, asking them for their money, their jewelry, their clothing, everything that the Israelites could possibly want. And the result of that was that Israel went out of Egypt enriched and left the Egyptians impoverished. Their land was not only destroyed by the judgments that God had sent, but Israel took with them out of the land of Egypt all the wealth of Egypt. One thing that needs to be emphasized, though, about all of that is that it wasn't just God who commanded it, but God who brought it to pass. Verse 36 of Exodus 12 makes that clear. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled Egyptians. That verse in Psalm 105 emphasizes that same thing. Psalm 105, verse 37. Psalm that records Israel's history says in verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. This was all God's own work on behalf of his people. And the word of God in the book of Ezekiel explains that. God was doing what he gave the wealth of Egypt to his people. Ezekiel 39, verse 10. Where this is in another connection, but this is what he was doing for Israel in the days of their Exodus from Egypt. They shall spoil those that spoiled them and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. That was what God was doing when he commanded and brought to pass the spoiling of the Egyptians by the children of Israel. And you have to remember, of course, we'll come back to that, but you have to remember that the Israelites had been slaves in the land of Egypt, and that at the mercy of the Egyptians, they had been spoiled by the Egyptians, who not only forced them to work for Pharaoh to build his treasure cities, but who had robbed the children of Israel and spoiled them even of their children. When the children were commanded, the sons anyway, were commanded to be killed by being thrown into the river Nile, God says they shall spoil those that spoiled them and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And that's what God was doing in the land of Egypt. Ordinarily, of course, when someone or a nation is spoiled, then that's the result of a battle. And the victors take everything. Take the armor and the weapons of those who have been killed in battle, and all the wealth of the nation or city against whom they've been fighting. Here it's the Lord who fights for his people and with whose help Israel spoiled Egypt. But as I suggested at the beginning of this evening's sermon, that's not really the end of the story. All through the Old Testament, God would continue to give to his people the spoil. He did that when Israel conquered the land of Canaan. He not only gave them the victory over their enemies, but gave them the lands and wealth of the nations who had lived there in the land of Canaan. He did that through the victories of King David. Gave them the spoil of their enemies, much of which was later used in the building of the temple by King Solomon. But the story is not just the story of what happened to Israel when they left Egypt, or even what happened in the history of Israel that followed. But there's a fulfillment of this in the New Testament. And first of all, Savior Jesus Christ. We have to remember when we read the Old Testament, the story included, that this history is typical. It always points ahead to something else. We have to remember, I've been emphasizing that in different sermons from the book of Exodus, that Israel's history is our history. And have reminded you of what the New Testament teaches, that the Israel of God is really not an earthly nation, but all, Jew and Gentile together, who belong to Christ by faith. He is not a Jew, the book of Romans says, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. And all of that is summed up by the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians when he says, if be Christ's, are ye heirs according to the promise. When you read the Old Testament and the stories of the Old Testament, you have to remember that. And in remembering that, remember that this history in pictures and types is our history. And death of Christ. It was in the death, the crucifixion of Christ, that God once again spoiled Egypt. Now, to understand that, you have to remember that in God's sight, Sodom, Egypt, unbelieving Jerusalem, the wicked world in which we live, are all one and the same. Is it just the name of a city that existed in the days of Abraham? But it's a name for this world, and especially for this world today. Egypt is not just a name for a nation that existed back in the Old Testament. Egypt is a name for this world, as the place where God's people are held in bondage, enslaved, and spoiled. And if you think that I'm exaggerating when I say that, then you have to remember what the Word of God says in Revelation 11. It's talking about the death of the two witnesses who represent in that chapter, I'm not going to try and prove that this evening, but who represent the church here on earth, describes the death of those two witnesses and says their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So the history goes on, and what happened in the days of Moses does not bring the history of Egypt spoiling to an end. It was at the cross that Christ, of whom Moses was only a picture, and his people, spoiled Egypt once again. And did you know that the Bible actually uses that word to describe what Christ accomplished at the cross? In the book of Colossians, speaking of what the cross of Christ means to us, it says, among other things, that at his cross, in it, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In his cross, he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That was a spoiling of the Egypt of this world, of which Israel's departure from Egypt is only a picture and a shadow. Christ spoiled this world when, as a result of his death on the cross, they, under the judgment of God for crucifying the Lord of glory, forever forfeited everything. That's what Colossians is talking about. And you know what? You remember that passage I read from Ezekiel 39 where God said he would spoil those who spoiled his people? That happened. Christ spoiled them because they had done to him what Egypt did to God's people. They had spoiled him. Took away from him finally even the rags that he wore for clothing. Took away his life. Took away his place among his people. Took everything he had. In the end, it was not he who was spoiled, but this world and those who didn't believe in him and all the citizens of this world. And that's the word of God in Colossians 2, verse 15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's the spoiling of Egypt. And Christ did that, you understand, on behalf of his people, on your behalf, so that when you go out of Egypt spiritually, you go out enriched with the wealth of this world. Enriched, first of all, in this way. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 3. In this way, that all things are yours. And ye are Christ's. And Christ is God's. All the wealth of this world, all the power of this world, is by virtue of Christ's work. And yours so truly and surely that it all works for your good under his sovereign power and dominion. All things are yours. They hold them in their own hands. All the wealth and power of this world, but it's really yours, and under the sovereign rule of Christ, works for your good and for your eternity. That's the spoiling of this world, whether you call Egypt or unbelieving Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified, makes no difference. All belongs now to the of God. And the end of that will be, as you know, Jesus says, the meek, the earth. Christ comes again. Then the spoiling of Egypt will be completed, and the new heavens and the new earth and all that belongs to them will be the inheritance, the everlasting inheritance of God's people. That's quite something. And that has application, too. That doesn't leave, does it, any room for discontent? It doesn't matter if that's true. It doesn't matter, does it, whether you have a little or a lot of the things of this world. All things are yours. And under the sovereign rule of Christ, serve your eternal salvation and blessedness. Egypt was spoiled at the cross and spoiled on behalf of God's people, to whom God gives, as the God of his people, all the wealth of this world. Description of that, in fact, in Ezekiel 16. I hope I'm not making too many references to other scripture passages this evening. But God talks about the salvation of his people in those terms in Ezekiel 16. It says, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Found his church like an abandoned child in the wilderness. At first gave to his people life. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. But that's not all he did for them. He goes on in the verses that follow to describe how he clothed his people, spiritually, of course, not with earthly clothing, but with the white robes of perfect righteousness in Jesus Christ. I passed by thee and looked upon thee, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. And I washed thee with water. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. And then this, I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. In the salvation of his people, and in giving them all the riches of this world, God does what he did in Egypt in the days of Moses, and what he speaks of in Ezekiel 16, plunders this world on their behalf. And that all traces back to what Christ did at the cross. When spoiled by his enemies, he nevertheless triumphed over them and spoiled principalities and powers on their behalf, earning for them all the blessings of grace, and in the end, the new heavens and the new earth as well. That's history, as it continues and will continue till the end of time. Does God do that? Why did he not just deliver his people, but why did he spoil the Egyptians in delivering them? Well, the answer is, first of all, in that verse in Ezekiel. This is retribution for what this world always does to God's people. It's retribution for the spoiling of God's people here in the world. When they suffer persecution, when they're the poor and despised of this world, that God in the end, who is just and righteous, gives them all the wealth of their enemies. But it's more than retribution. It's also God's way of rewarding them for their faithful service of God. That reward is never deserved, never earned, but God always rewards them who serve him. And you have a picture of that in Egypt. Israel in Egypt continued to serve God. You have a wonderful example of that in the story of Moses' birth and of how his parents rescued him from Pharaoh because they believed he was a covenant child. They saw, the book of Hebrews says, that he was a goodly child and kept him from the wrath of Pharaoh. But they continued to serve God in the land of Egypt, and God made sure they were rewarded for that. Paid, if you will, for all their years of work in the land of Egypt, and gave them, as their reward, the wealth of their enemies. And what he gives you and all of his people, the new heavens and the new earth, that he will be doing the same. Spoil Egypt. Leave Egypt, as in the days of Moses, a disaster for the sake of his people. There's a verse in Isaiah, so many verses we could refer to, but a verse in Isaiah where the Word of God speaks of that. Isaiah 43, verse 3. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. That's part of the fulfillment of what God did in Egypt in the days of Moses. But this most of all, we'll talk about that, God willing, next Lord's Day morning when we look at the eighth commandment. Egypt and this world, Egypt is just another name for this world. Egypt always robs God himself and does that by using the wealth of this world and everything that belongs to this present world in the service of sin. And it's all his. He takes it back and gives it to his people. Robs those who robbed him. When he plunders Egypt and gives the wealth of the nations to his own. You have that in the Psalter number we sang a little while ago. Through pain and trouble thou hast led and humbled all our pride, but in the end to liberty and wealth thy hand did guide. Not even earthly wealth, most of all, but spiritual and heavenly wealth, the new heavens and the new earth and all that belongs to them. But there's one more thing. And that's another question. You know what happened to all of that? All of those earrings and jewels and jewelry and clothing that Israel took out of the land of Egypt. You know what happened? If you turn to Exodus 35, the Word of God answers that question. He gave it to his people, yes. But he gave it to them so that they could give it back to him. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and red skins of rams and badger skins, brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. God gave it to them so that they could give it back to him. In service, in worship, in thankfulness. They didn't come out of Egypt with, they didn't have those things except in coming out of Egypt. They came out with the wealth of the Egyptians. But as the one to whom it all belonged, he required that it be returned to him, and especially to his worship in the tabernacle. And that's the purpose of this all. Why does he promise you the new heavens and the new earth? Why are all things yours through the work of Christ? For your own enrichment? Your own enjoyment? Never, never, never. But so that all that you have and all that you are, inheriting someday the new heavens and the new earth, may be for all eternity an offering of thankfulness to him. The spoiling of Egypt for the sake of God's people, yes. But for the glory of God himself. and the worship of God and the service of God. And all through what our Savior accomplished at the cross. If you don't understand that, then the story that's recorded in Exodus 12 is just an interesting story. And the history no different from the history of any other nation that conquered and spoiled its enemies. But that's not why that's in the Bible, is it? Not just because it's another story like many others, but because it's the story of what God has done for you and for me as the God of our salvation. They spoiled the Egyptians. But spoiled the Egyptians so that they could use all that they brought out of Egypt in the worship and service of the God who had delivered them. And so must you and I. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for what we have heard this evening and for grace to take to our all that we have and with all Thy word, guard us home and live the in Jesus. Hear our prayer, Father, for we ask these things in His name. Amen.